My own release isn't far off, but I don't slide into her since I don't have a condom close enough. Instead, I climb up her, straddling her waist as I jerk my cock harder. Pleasure rattles through me and I groan. She blinks open her eyes and seems to register where I am. She pushes her breasts together, and that's all I need to know. I slide in and fuck her tits, bracing my palm on the pillow by her face. Now this is a whole new realm of heaven. My dick is in my favorite place, and I'm seconds from coming. She pushes her tits even tighter, creating a warm tunnel for my shaft. On an upstroke, Josie sticks out her tongue and flicks the head of my cock. It feels magnificent, and it flips the switch. Gonna come, I grunt, and with a loud groan I shoot jets over her chest. I shudder, my shoulders shaking as my climax thunders through me. Holy fucking shit, I mutter, because it was so fucking good. Because of her. When I come down from my high, I reach over to her nightstand and grab some tissues. Let me clean this. I wipe me off her chest as she murmurs, I liked it, though. Yeah? Were you going to wear my cum all night? She laughs lightly and shrugs. I like it when you come on me. I stand and toss the tissues in a trash can, then return to her, gathering her in my arms. You do? She nods and tilts her chin up, meeting my eyes. It's my favorite thing, making you come, she says softly, then runs a finger down my chest. Her touch is electric, and even though I just finished, I'm getting hard again. I like when you come inside me. Her fingers trail down my pecs. And in my mouth. Then to my abs. And on my body. Over my hip. I just love it when it feels good for you. I'm so stunned by the sheer sensuality of her words and by the gorgeous honesty in them that I barely know what to say. Instead, I drop my mouth to hers and kiss her softly, then harder still, because the taste of her lights me up and it shuts my mouth. That way, I won't slip and say the words she doesn't want to hear. Words that clog my throat and fight to come out. Words that I have to shove back down because they'd reveal everything. I barely understand how she can say something so raw and sexual to me, and not only does it turn me on beyond any and all reason, but it also hooks into my heart and makes me fall harder for her. When she breaks the kiss, I wriggle my eyebrows. I love it when you come too, so let's make that happen. I move down her body, kissing her beautiful breasts, her soft waist, the curve of her hips. Then I bury my face between her legs, licking her until she comes again. My name is on her lips with every shudder, every tremble, every cry. And it kills me. It kills me how much I want her in every way. And later, when I put her on her hands and knees and fuck her until she groans, I groan, and the bed groans, I revise my earlier sentiment about her chest being my favorite place. She is my favorite place. And I'm ridiculously glad I have a date with her, even though I doubt it'll be the first of many like I want. The clock ticks on this thing between us. The more we spend nights in bed, the harder it'll be to carry on as just friends when this ends. Chapter 26. If I thought Josie was into playing mood music the other night, she's got nothing on Ivory. The teacher of the sensual cooking class pipes in a constant stream of Chardet at the cooking school in Soho on a Friday night. Oh, and she's also arranged scented candles around the room. I suspect she hopes we're all going to get it on right here on the kitchen counter after we prep the chocolate-covered strawberries. Josie and I aren't the only ones taking the enticing appetizers and alluring desserts class, but I think we might be the only couple that's barely a couple, or the only pair not quite taking this class as seriously as all the others. There's an older couple here, in their 60s maybe. The man has his paws all over his woman. I'm not opposed to PDA in theory, but I'm not all that interested in seeing him grope her ass incessantly. But it's nice that they dig each other. A younger couple is here, and the woman is pregnant. They might be trying to get pregnant while pregnant tonight, if such a thing were possible, judging from how many times he kisses her as they chop vegetables. Two men are here, too, and they're quite touchy-feely as well. Fine, it's a sensual cooking class, but it's a bit like we're on an episode of Couples Retreat, Watch the Modern Man and Woman Mate, or Man and Man, or Woman and Woman. And look, I'm all for getting it on with Josie as much as possible, just not in a class. Tonight, she wears a summery dress along with her cherry-patterned apron, and surprise, surprise, it makes me think of the first time we made... screwed, I mean. That's all it was, and she looks completely screwable in her apron as she mixes melted chocolate in a glass bowl at the wooden counter. We've already cooked a pepper dish, while Ivory, in her slinky red dress, opined on how the heat in peppers stimulates blood, endorphins, and, you got it, erections. Considering I'm hard nearly all the time around Josie, I don't need peppers to serve as my Viagra. But peppers are tasty, so we nibbled on that enticing appetizer. Oysters came next, and Ivory watched over us, encouraging Josie to feed them to me. I declined.
You should try them. They make you virile, Ivory said.
Already there, I told her. She moved on to another couple, and I whispered to Josie,
Can't stand oysters.
She crinkled her nose.
I can't either. So that was the right answer on the roommate compatibility test.
Next, our teacher waxed on about asparagus and bananas, citing both the stimulants contained in them, but also how their shapes served as foreplay. Everyone nodded sagely, like Ivory was sharing some newfound wisdom, but no one seemed able to utter the reason why their shape might be a turn-on.
You mean because they're phallic? Josie asked, as if she were just learning this fact.
Yes, Ivory said, stroking a banana.
See?
Oh, I get it now, Josie said. When the teacher turned around, Josie opened her mouth wide like she was about to fillet the fruit. That made my night. Yeah, maybe we're goofballs. Maybe we're irreverent. Maybe this class isn't exactly for us. It's a bit too serious, but we're having fun in our own way. Especially now that it's dessert time.
Chocolate is the ultimate aphrodisiac, Ivory says,
wandering around the room like a dance instructor. Her dark hair is braided down her back. She stops at a hipster couple, a guy with black glasses and a goatee who slices strawberries next to a woman with a pixie cut. Ivory places one hand on his shoulder, the other on hers.
Chocolate is delicious, but that's not the only reason it's an aphrodisiac. Do you know why it is?
The woman clears her throat.
They say it makes you feel like you're falling in love?
Ivory nods and holds up a finger.
They do say that. But why? Why does chocolate make you feel like you're in love?
Josie steals a glance at me, and for a second I think it's because of the topic, that she can read it in my eyes or that she's checking to see if I might feel that way. Nerves crawl up my throat, but when Josie nudges me, it's clear she's just having fun.
I know the scientist in you is dying to answer, she says under her breath.
She's not wrong. I rocked at school. Hell, I didn't skip two grades for nothing. I loved taking tests, loved answering questions, and loved getting the answers right. Part of me wants to shout, it's chemistry. But Ivory keeps going.
Chocolate is an aphrodisiac because it melts on the tongue and because it improves circulation. But most importantly, it strengthens the heart.
She stops in the middle of the room and surveys her cooking students at each station.
And do you know what a strong heart does?
I can't resist. I speak up. A strong heart beats 100,000 times a day and pumps about 2,000 gallons of blood through the circulatory system to sustain life. When the heart is strong, you can do everything better, faster, and longer. Ivory watches me with wide eyes. That also means a strong heart improves endurance. I square my shoulders, including between the sheets. Out of the corner of my eye, I notice Josie's lips twitching. Her hand covers her mouth. Then a small laugh slips past her fingers.
Very good, Ivory says with a nod. And you see, class, chocolate is good for the heart because it helps ensure you can last all night long.
Josie grabs my arm and digs her nails in, no doubt so she doesn't crack up.
And now let us enjoy the stimulant, Ivory says, holding her arms out wide as if she's our Sherpa guiding us up the mountain of sexual exploration.
Let us dip the strawberries in the chocolate and feed them to our partners.
Josie turns to me, a naughty little grin on her face as she holds a strawberry and whispers, "Open wide." I do, flicking my tongue out, letting her know what I want to be eating. My date brings a chocolate-covered strawberry to my tongue. It's tasty, and I finish it quickly. Then I notice everyone else is moving in slow motion, taking their time with the berries, rolling them around on their tongues, dusting kisses on their partner's mouth. Make no mistake, I would love to be kissing Josie right now, but in private, not on display. I lower my voice. I feel like we're in a Lamaze class, and we're the only ones not totally into it. She laughs. Same here. Also, I already knew all this stuff about the food, sort of like you and the heart, she says, tapping mine. Her hand on me feels good. It reminds me where I want to be, not here. Evidently, she feels the same because she mouths, "Want to make a run for it?" I lunge as if I'm about to take off in a race. Josie shakes her head, then dips her hand in her purse, fiddles around with something, and soon my phone bleeps loudly from my pocket. Josie turns her expression to one of worry. "Oh my God, is that the hospital?" she says in a stage whisper. I slide into my role. "It must be," I say heavily. "I'm on call tonight." I grab my phone, swipe my thumb across the screen, and bring it to my ear, answering it professionally. I pretend to listen to instructions. When the imaginary answering service is through, I say, "I'll be right there. Make sure to stabilize the patient and start an IV drip." All eyes in the room snap to me. "I'll be there in 10 minutes. For Josie's amusement, I add in a deeply ominous tone, "And whatever you do, Bob, don't lose the patient." Dun, dun, dun. I end the call and Ivory points to the door.
"Go! Godspeed!"
We take off into the Soho night, laughing as we make our great escape from the too touchy-feely cooking lesson. "What a strange class," Josie says as we head to the subway. "Funny, because I heard so many raves about it." I get why it's fun, but maybe it's not for us. To each his or her own, I suppose. The guy who recommended it liked to hang on chandeliers. We stop at the crosswalk, waiting for the light. She looks up at the faint stars in the sky as if she's thinking. "The whole idea of aphrodisiacs or sensual food is cool, but maybe it's not the food that's sensual." She meets my eyes. "Maybe it's the person. Maybe it's just who you're with, and it's not about the candlelight or the music or the way you feed someone." I drop my hand to her shoulder and serve up the full truth. "Josie, you could eat tuna fish, and I'd still be turned on." She brings a hand to her chest and bats her eyes. "I think that's the sexiest thing you've ever said to me." Then we go underground. Chapter 27. Let me be perfectly clear. The subway is not an aphrodisiac, but Josie is. The whole ride uptown we talk, about the class, about food, about what might happen on the next season of Vice Principals. She slides her hand into my hair and absently plays with the ends as we talk. And this, right here, on the noisy, dirty, grimy subway, is the true turn-on. Me and my girl heading home. As the train slaloms past 14th Street, she drops her hand and reaches for mine. My breath hitches as she squeezes my fingers. That's all it takes, her holding my hand. I let my head fall back, hitting the window behind us. "Are you okay?" she asks. "I'm perfect. Perfectly ruined for anyone else." I take our joined hands and press a kiss to her knuckles, wondering what the hell I'm supposed to do about the fact that she's not out of my system. Not even close. Not one single bit. She rests her head on my shoulder. We aren't handholders. We aren't daters. We aren't affectionate. At least, not in public. And in private, we're usually naked. But tonight on the train, she's been playing with my hair, snuggling against me, looping her fingers through mine. It doesn't take a genius to figure out this is couple behavior, and it's coming from a woman who made it crystal clear she wanted to be roomies with benefits only. Has something changed for her? A wild idea descends on me. Could she want
No, I can't let myself think that. It's crazy and beyond the realm of expected outcomes. Even so, my heart skips a beat. My skin heats up, and something like hope makes landfall in my chest. It feels like a wild, crazy possibility, but it's one I desperately want right now, to simply slide from this phase to the next one without a hitch. To be the exception, to pull this whole crazy thing off. I hold that thought close as we walk home. When we reach our building, the mustached doorman gives a quick hello, then points to the elevators. The main elevator is out of commission. We're having some work done to it. The service elevator is working, but it's a bit slow. It should return to the lobby in a few minutes. We'll take the stairs, Josie says to him with a smile. We have strong hearts and good endurance. He adjusts his green blazer. Oh, and Ms. Hammer, the postman delivered something for you. Would you like me to get it from the mail storage room? She shakes her head. I'll grab it tomorrow. I'm sure it's the rolling pin I ordered. We head to the stairwell, and I open the door, letting her go ahead of me. As she walks, I enjoy the view of her legs, her ass, her skirt. At the first landing, I grab her hand and pull her back, her chest pressed to me. You're the enticing appetizer. She sighs sexily and brings her hands to my chest. So are you. Her lips part, and my God, what the fuck am I supposed to do but kiss her, and hold her, and have her, and want her? It's a slow, sensual kiss at first, a tease, the start of something. And when she murmurs against my mouth, all bets are off. I band my arm around her waist and tug her close, sealing her body to mine. I'm seriously considering fucking you in the stairwell, I tell her. She lowers her hand to the front of my jeans, rubbing the outline of my cock. Love that idea, but I want to be naked with you. I groan and smack her ass. Upstairs, I growl, as fast as you can. Get that dress off and then get on me. Yes, sir. She scurries up the next set of stairs, then the next. When we're near the fourth floor, she sneaks a glance back. Peekaboo, she says, then lifts up the back of her skirt, flashing me her panties. Her red lace, see-through panties. Heat roars through me, and instinct takes over. I reach for her, and when my shoe hits the landing, the ankle rolls out and my foot turns in. An instant, searing pain rips along my right calf and straight into my ankle, a shot of misery. Fuck! I curse as my ankle yelps. Josie flies down the steps in a flurry. Oh no, are you okay? I wince. Yeah, I bite out, bending over to grip my ankle. Her hand runs up my back, a reassuring pat. Babe, are you okay? You're worrying me. Fine, I mumble. I straighten because I can't be that guy, the helpless guy. Let me help you, she says, moving to my side and draping her arm around me. I'm fine. You're not. Let me help you. Her voice is firm. I swear I'm okay. Stop being such a macho man. She wins the battle and walks with me the rest of the way up the stairs as I try not to limp. It was my butt's fault, she says, contrition in her tone. My cheeks distracted you. I dart a hand down to squeeze one. Your butt is worth a twisted ankle. When we reach the apartment, the pain shoots through me once more, and I pretty much limp inside, Josie holding open the door. Go sit, she directs, pointing. On the diddle couch. I do, plopping down on the soft cushions. I'm grateful to be surrounded by all these pillows. I lift my right ankle onto the coffee table as Josie sets her hands on my shoulders. Tell me what you need. Ice, I presume? I nod. Ice and ibuprofen, too, and elevation. But I took care of that part. She marches to the bathroom and returns quickly with two pills and a cup of water. I down the ibuprofen. She rounds the corner into the kitchen and reappears seconds later with a hand towel and an ice pack. She wraps the towel over the pack, takes off my shoes and socks, and pushes up the bottom of my pant leg. She parks herself on the table and presses the pack gently to my ankle. Ouch! It's freezing! She rolls her eyes. It's supposed to be frozen. It's ice. It's so cold. Has anyone ever told you that you're a terrible patient? I frown. I try to never be the patient. A soft smile plays on her face.
But this time, you have a nurse who offers a special brand of TLC. And my foot isn't cold anymore. In fact, it barely hurts at all when Josie rests the ice on my foot, cuddles up by my side, and kisses the hell out of me. 10 minutes later, my foot is frozen, but everything else is on fire.
You going to be okay? She asks.
I'll live, I say with a pout. There's one good thing about twisted ankles. The recovery time is quick. There's a bigger problem, though, in my pants. I cast my gaze to my hard-on.
But can you do anything about this new issue you've created?
A grin spreads on her face.
That is my special nursing talent, she says, standing and stripping.
With each shred of clothing that comes off, I'm harder and more aroused. How that's possible, I don't know, but that's the Josie effect. She does this to me, and I help her along by unzipping my jeans and pushing them to my knees. In her naked glory, she grabs a condom from the table and straddles me. I brush strands of pink hair from her face.
Your pink is fading, I say, as I run a finger over her locks. I need to touch it up. I'll do it tomorrow morning since I'm not working. Takes me a little while since I have to focus on putting the color in so I don't get it all over my neck, she says as she opens the condom wrapper.
Do you want me to help? I have steady hands.
You'd do that?
Of course, I say, wishing I could add the full truth. I'd do anything for you. She drops a kiss to my lips, then rolls the condom onto my dick. So much for the hair talk. All I care about now is this. She lowers herself onto me, and her wet, warm pussy hugs my cock. We groan in unison. Electricity rushes through me. Pleasure spreads to every damn molecule. I grip her hips. Jesus, Josie. She rises up on my dick, then back down.
I know, right? It's so good.
Her voice sounds as if it's breaking. I cup her cheeks as she rides me. What am I going to do with you? She shakes her head, like she barely knows the answer either. You're so fucking good to me, I say, then crush her lips to mine. I don't know how to do this. Not when she owns me, not when she takes care of me, and not when she fucking wins my heart over and over. I can't stop feeling this way. I can't stop falling. I'm so fucking in love with her, it hurts. I want to be the one who wants her, and be the one she wants, just like she asked for. One guy who wants me the way I want him. You have him, I want to say. He's right fucking here. She breaks our kiss as she rides me harder and wilder, and it's spectacular watching her chase her pleasure. I drop my hand to her legs, rubbing her clit as she fucks me until she shudders and then breaks apart. Her face falls next to mine, cheek to cheek, her mouth near my ear.
I don't know how to stop.
Hell if I know how either. Later, when we're in bed, and I reassure her for the 10th time that her medicine worked and my ankle's fine, she sets her hand on my shoulder.
Did you enjoy our date?
That last word makes my breath catch. Her voice is nervous, like she truly hopes I'll say yes.
Loved it, I say as I run my fingers through her hair.
Even the kooky teacher in the class that totally wasn't our style? I nod. Even that.
It was perfect for us, she says softly, snuggling closer.
Our date. Us. That well of hope, it springs up again. This is the turning point. This is when she says she's all in. This is us without a hitch. She sighs and cuddles up against me.
I wish it could be like this.
I tense, because that doesn't sound like all in.
Like what? I ask carefully. Like tonight. Perfect. Even with your ankle.
But it can't be. She looks up and meets my eyes.
I don't want to lose you. You know that.
I nod, afraid if I speak, I'll ruin what we have. Or maybe she will, given her next words.
Chase, she says slowly, her voice sad. What happens when this ends?
My chest aches. My heart stings. What do you mean? I choke out. She waves in the direction of my wall, my room, and draws a deep breath like it fuels her.
Do you just go back to your bed? To your room?
I don't know, I say, each word like a stone in my mouth.
I don't want this to stop, she says, and I want to grab her, hold her, tell her it doesn't have to.
But it has to, right?
Her voice wobbles, like she's on the cusp of tears. For a second, hope tries to jostle its way past the pragmatic reality that friends who dally too far into benefits are doomed. Because it sounds like she doesn't want this to end either. Like she's looking for the loophole too. But I'm not sure it exists. In medicine, there are risks. There are side effects. You have to weigh them and decide if the treatment is worth the cure. Taking the leap with Josie, telling her I'm crazy in love with her, isn't like popping some Advil for my ankle. It's jacking up my whole body with steroids that could do serious damage down the line.
Right?
She asks again, like she needs to be the one to keep the ingredients separate. I flash back to her worries and her words the first night we slept together.
I need you to be the tough one. You need to be the doctor who rips off the band-aid eventually.
I look into her eyes. She's waiting for my answer. She needs me to be strong. Fuck. I don't want to play that role with her. But if we're going to pull this off, the return to friendship land, I've got to. I push past the lump in my throat.
Right.
She sighs, and the sound is both wistful and horribly pained.
We'll be like a cake that bakes too long. You've got to know when to take it out of the oven, or it'll burn.
I don't want to burn, I say. But I fear I already have. Chapter 28. From the pages of Josie's recipe book. An apple a day. Ingredients. Any kind of apple. 1. Take an apple. 2. Eat it. 3. Hope to hell it works, even though there's a part of you that doesn't want it to work at all. Not one bit. Not in the least. 4. You know what an apple a day does. Chapter 29. She's sound asleep, the sheet having slipped down to her waist. Her features are soft in the dark blue light of the early hour. Her brown hair spills over her pillow, and her breathing is slow and even. The clock flashes 5:30, and it's not just a warning that it's time for me to leave. It's a reminder that we're another moment closer to the end. Josie and I might not have an official expiration date, but we're as good as fully cooked. Maybe one more night. Maybe one more time. Last night she made it clear that the timer buzzes any minute. I heave a sigh as I pull on workout shorts and a t-shirt. Turning away from her, I head to the bathroom and brush my teeth. I grab my bike shoes and pad quietly across the floor, favoring my right foot. I lied last night. My ankle did hurt. It still does. But I'm going to ride with Max this morning anyway. I close the door with a soft whoosh so I won't wake her up. In the hallway, I put on my shoes. I snag my bike from the basement and dart downtown, the early morning cabs and buses keeping me company on the road, along with my thoughts. I wish there were other options. But this, having her in every way, is the kind of procedure that reeks of malpractice. It's fraught with too many known risks that can lead to a negative outcome, including injury or death. I try to weigh the choices like I'd evaluate such a complicated treatment. On the one hand, I could tell her how I feel, but that's a surgical procedure with a great likelihood of morbidity. What if telling her freaked her out, worried her, made her kick me out of the apartment and say, "Sorry, bud, you're not the full package I want"? We might as well kill the friendship on the operating table. On the other hand, we could apply the brakes, preserve the friendship, and save the patient, our friendship. That's the safest choice. The only other option is so crazy, so ridiculous, I can't even take it seriously. It's the one where I tell her how I feel, and miraculously, she wants the same thing. We'd skip merrily down the street into la-la happy fucking forever and ever land. I scoff at that scenario as I slow at a light. We have a name for that in the ER. It's the hallelujah scenario. It's the outcome so wonderfully unexpected in the face of outrageously bad odds that patients and families deem it a miracle. You can't count on miracles. You can't practice for them. And you certainly can't bet something as critical as a life on them. When I reach Max's building and wheel up to the lobby door, a heaviness descends on my bones. There's only one procedure to perform. Josie and I will have to return to the way we were, like we'd planned. We'll remain the best of friends, and these last few weeks will simply be a fun little blip. We'll look back on this time and laugh about the days when we were roomies with Bennies. Max strolls out of the lobby, pushing his bike. He lifts his chin. Hey. Hey. Ready? I'm ready. We ride along our usual route as the sun rises, but I'm off my game. That heaviness is spread through my body. It weighs me down. It slows me. I'm as sluggish as I've ever been. From several bike lengths ahead, Max glances back and shouts, "Come on, man, catch up." It's not an admonishment. It's an encouragement. My brother knows me. He knows speed is my asset. This morning, though, my legs are dead. I can't do it. Max slows and stops. "What's going on?" I roll up beside him on the path. "Nothing." He shakes his head, then points to a nearby bench. We wheel over to it, unsnap our helmets, and park our asses, resting our bikes on the grass. "Something's going on." I drop my head into my hands. I can't fucking hold this in a second longer. I'm in love with Josie, but I can't be. For the briefest moment, my body feels light. I said it out loud. I voiced it to another person. When I raise my face, I half expect my brother to laugh at me, but I know better. That's not Max's style. "Love sucks." He exhales heavily and meets my eyes. "Does she feel the same?" I shrug. "I don't know, but it doesn't matter. She said we need to stop." Max holds up his hands in a T. "Whoa, stop what?" And so I tell him the Cliff's Notes version. "Chase," he says with a sigh that contains all the older brother wisdom in the world. "I know." He shakes his head. "She's gonna break your heart, man." I snap my gaze to him. "What?" I heard him. I just refused to believe Josie would do that. "Look at you. You're a mess. She's going to hurt you." Like that, I cut him off before he can say Adele. I don't feel the need to defend my ex, but I can't bear to have her name breathed near Josie's. It's not the same. "I know, but fuck." He drags a hand through his hair, heaving a sigh. "I hate seeing you so worked up over a woman." "She's not just any woman." "I get that." He stares me down. His dark eyes have always felt like laser beams. "She's your roommate and your best friend and your lover, and you want her to be your girlfriend." He takes a beat and shakes his head as if he's frustrated with the situation. "But she's told you that can't happen, and you're setting yourself up for a world of hurt." He's right. Hell, I know he's right. And the dread that floods every corner of my body is the proof of how right he is. But still, some faint hope nags at me. "You sure?" "Look, there's probably some school of thought that would tell you to man up and let her know how you feel. And hey, maybe you should. Lord knows I don't have the track record to be any sort of relationship expert." He scrubs a hand over his jaw. "But Chase, this is a precarious house of cards." He makes a flicking motion with his finger, knocking over the imaginary structure. "I just don't see how you can pull off this trick without everything tumbling down. She's not some nurse you're hot for who works the same shift. She's not a chick you met online or a babe you hooked up with at a car show." I laugh for a second because that last is his weakness, not mine. "I thought you were cutting back on that." He makes a Scout's Honor sign. "I'm on the wagon." He grips my shoulder. "Anyway, the point is, she's Josie," he says, with an intensity that matches how I feel for her. "You've had a thing for her for about forever. Everyone knew it but you." I arch an eyebrow. "Everyone? Dude, it's patently obvious. You flirt with her constantly. Your face lights up when she comes in the room. You smile like an idiot when you talk about her." I sneer. "Shut up, I do not." "You do, too." I scowl, proving just how much I'm not a love-struck fool. "That's why I don't see how even you can pull this off," he says. "If anyone can manage balancing acts and feats of strength, it's my little brother. But this isn't just pushing your body to finish a race or to handle a 36-hour shift without a yawn. This isn't even skipping two grades in school, smarty pants. This is a fuck ton harder." I draw a deep breath, letting it fill me, letting it fuel me.
So I just shut it down?
He sighs heavily.
I can't tell you to do that. All I can say is be prepared for a hurricane-sized storm if you open it up.
I sink back on the bench, certain that Max's advice is spot on, because it aligns with the woman's wishes. Josie made it perfectly clear from the start that we are temporary, and she laid down the law again last night.
What do I do next? How do I just return to being roommates and friends?
He drapes an arm around me.
You don't.
I shoot him a look as if he's speaking Swahili.
What?
You don't go back. Come stay with me. Take a break before being so close to her drives you crazy. You can move in with her again if you want, but stay with me for a few days, a few weeks, a few months, as long as you want. Whatever you need while you get this shit sorted out.
At first, I want to blow him off, to say, nah, I hardly need that. But something about his idea gives me a sense of calm I haven't felt in a while. The longer I stay with Josie, the harder it'll be when it ends. And it will end. The clock is winding down.
Maybe I should, I say.
He nods. I don't pretend to have any answers, but I love you, man. I don't want to see you hurt, and right now I can tell you are.
I am, and I can't stand feeling this way. I go for my best attempt at humor production.
So, you love me?
He drops his knuckles to my head and grinds them against my skull.
I do.
Like a brother?
He laughs.
Just like a brother. Right now, maybe that's what I need most.
Chapter 30. From the pages of Josie's recipe book. Everything but raisins cookies. Ingredients. All-purpose flour, baking soda, salt, ground cinnamon, butter softened, brown sugar, white sugar, eggs, vanilla extract, dried cherries, rolled oats, flaked coconut, semi-sweet chocolate chips, chopped pecans. Directions. 1. Preheat oven to 350 degrees. Grease cookie sheet. Sift together flour, baking soda, salt, and cinnamon. 2. In a large bowl, mix together butter, brown sugar, and white sugar until smooth. Add in the eggs one at a time, beating gently, because if you don't, you'll ruin the eggs and destroy the recipe, and you'll be left with a gigantic bowl of everything cookie dough disappointment that you can't bake and you can't eat either. 3. Stir in vanilla. Mix in the sifted ingredients until well blended. Carefully. Do it carefully. If you screw this up and stir too long, I swear, you'll kill it. Do as I say. 4. Using a wooden spoon, mix in the cherries, oats, coconut, chocolate chips, and pecans. This won't be easy, so put a little muscle into it. It's hard what you're doing. But it'll be even harder if you don't do this properly. 5. Drop cookie batter onto sheets, placing them 2 inches apart. Now, don't go crazy and get them too close. If you do, you'll have to ditch the whole batch. You don't want that, do you? 6. Bake for 8 to 10 minutes in preheated oven. 7. While you wait, wipe that stupid tear from your cheek. It's better this way. You know that.
Chapter 31. I have a mind device, and I'm not afraid to use it. Even though I've been bitten by the love bug, I can still depend on my special skill, separating emotions from actions as if they're whites and darks in the laundry. Back at the apartment, I zone in on Josie's hair and only on her hair. Admittedly, the sharp chemical odor of hair dye helps matters. Hell, maybe I found the only thing about her that doesn't turn me on. This shit stinks. Josie is parked on the closed toilet seat in the bathroom, decked out in leggings and a bra, with a towel draped over her shoulders. I stand behind her, painting pink onto the ends of her hair.
"Do you think this is your new calling?" she asks as I wrap a section of her newly pinked hair in tinfoil. "You seem to be a good hairdresser."
I stop, bend my face near hers, and speak sharply. "If I were you, Miss Josie, I wouldn't be mocking the guy holding a paintbrush full of hair dye."
I was just teasing, she says softly, but with worry in her tone. You know that, right?
Yes, I do. I'm just giving you a hard time, I tell her, since that's what I have to do to make it through this. Joke, tease, play. Bring us back to who we were before.
I appreciate you doing this, she says, tilting her face up at me.
Fuck, those green eyes, those pretty lips. She makes it too difficult to give her a hard time when all I want to do is kiss her. But duty calls and I paint another strand. I'm not doing this because I have hairdresser aspirations. I'm doing this for you. She moves her arms behind her and wraps them around my thighs.
Thank you.
Even though all my instincts tell me to drop a kiss on her lips or whisper something sweet in her ear, I don't listen to them. I ignore them completely and finish her hair. At some point, she lowers her hands and folds them in her lap. Briefly, I wonder if she can feel the tension in the room, if she can sense the shift. When I'm done, she stands and looks at me. Her eyes are etched with worry. Maybe fear, too. I have to let it sit for 20 minutes. Do you want to watch another episode of Bored to Death? I say yes, and we settle in next to each other on the couch. We started binging on this HBO show a few days ago. The first time we watched an episode was Tuesday night, after a wildly hot session under the sheets, during which we learned that we're one of those couples that not only loves, but is really fucking good at 69. Fuck. I didn't mean couple. But boy, did we rock that position. Neither one of us skipped a beat. I devoured her sweet pussy while she went to town on my cock, and we climaxed within about 60 seconds of each other. And now I'm aroused while watching Ted dancing. Great. Fucking great. I'm not even touching Josie. She smells like a chemical factory, and yet the mere memory of her coming on my face is enough to get a hell of a rise out of me. Maybe I need one more time with her. Yeah, I definitely need a final round. We don't have to 69 for me to be a happy camper. Any position will do. When the show ends and she clicks off the TV, I offer my services. Want me to rinse that out?
Sure.
Back into the bathroom we go. Josie drops the towel from her shoulders and strips off her leggings. She unhooks the bra, and the white lace falls to the tile floor. I strip off my clothes, too, while she turns on the faucet. As the water heats up, I reach behind her head and undo the tinfoil pieces, balling them up and tossing them in the trash. Then she tips her head toward the shower. She doesn't have to say it, but I swear I can hear the words on her lips. One last time. Or maybe it's just an echo in my head. Ladies first, I say, and open the shower door for her. She stands under the stream, and I join her in the heat as she lets the water rinse out the color. Pinkish waterfalls slide down her body, over her breasts, down her legs. The dye splashes on the tile floor in a bright fuchsia puddle. I grab her shampoo, pour some in my hand, and lather up her hair. She sighs happily like a cat being petted. That's one of the very many things I love about this girl. She welcomes touch. She's amazingly good at giving pleasure and accepting it, too. Not every woman can bask in the moment and savor someone adoring her body, but Josie can. She opens herself fully to feeling good, to being worshipped as she fucking deserves, and it's maddening how much it turns me on. I concentrate on the task of washing her hair. Once she's all lathered up, I tip her head back and rinse out the shampoo. When her hair is sleek as a seal's, she raises her head out of the stream. There, I say, and she opens her eyes and loops her arms around my neck. She lifts her chin and says a soft, thank you. Anytime, I say, trying to keep it light, since I feel anything but. She runs her finger over my top lip as the hot water beats down. Did you know I'm on the pill? All the air rushes from my lungs. I nod. I did know that. That's the thing about sharing a bathroom and a medicine cabinet. We don't have too many secrets.
Do you want to do it without protection?
I groan. And somehow, my dick thickens more, practically begging me to get down to business this second. Josie is killing me. Just fucking killing me. Max was right. I've got to get out of here. I can't be near her. I can't resist her. Right now, I don't intend to. I shift her to the wall, push her back against it, and slide my hand between her legs. I stroke her pussy and marvel at the feel. It hits me that she's this turned on simply from me washing her hair. Jesus Christ. In some alternate universe, I'm the luckiest bastard on the face of the earth to have a woman who's so wildly aroused. In this one, I'm just the schmuck about to enjoy his final benefit. But make no mistake, I'm going to enjoy the ever-loving hell out of it. I hook her leg around my hip, holding her tight, then rub my dick against her sweet, wet center. A sexy moan falls from her gorgeous mouth, and I slide home. It's extraordinary. And I never want to wear a condom again because this is motherfucking heaven. Her heat envelops me. Her walls clench around my hard-on. Her breath catches the most desperate sound I've ever heard her make. Then I fuck her. In my head, I say that word over and over. This is fucking. This is fucking. This is fucking. This isn't making love. This is just the final screw before I go. I can't care about the way she threads her hands in my hair. I can't linger on the murmurs she makes. And I can't give a second thought ever again to how she clutches me and cries my name when she comes, as if I'm the answer to her every wish. I won't let myself think about how she sounds just as lost as I am. Because seconds later, I'm coming too, and the pleasure blots out the empty ache. A little later, I'm dried off and dressed. I zip up my backpack, which contains a few changes of clothes. Footsteps sound behind me, then a question. What are you doing? I turn around, take a breath, and rip off the band-aid like I promised I'd do. I'm going to stay with Max. Her jaw drops. What? I nod. Just for a little while. Why? Her brow furrows as her voice wobbles. She stands in my doorway, dressed in jeans and a cute green blouse. Her hair is blown dry, and the ends are bright pink now. I step closer. I think the cake is baked now, baby, I say softly, remembering I have to do this. It'll be easier this way. You're just leaving? I'll be back, I promise. Though right now, I don't know how to be near her when I want her this badly. We always knew we had to stop. I can't stop when I'm living in the same 600 square feet as you. It feels like we're playing house. She bites her lip as if she's holding in all her sadness. You think we're just playing house? I glance around and wave at the walls, frustration building inside me, mixed with hurt. We can't just go on like this, I say. Then I can't help it. I'm done. I just can't hold it in anymore. I unleash my heart. I wake up next to you and I want to touch you. I watch TV with you and I can't stop kissing you. Hell, I dye your hair and we wind up naked in the shower. I can't just cut this off like it's a growth and go back to watching bored to death without wanting to make love to you, I say, then wince because I've made my great mistake. I swallow nervously but stand my ground. Her eyes pin me and she says nothing for a moment that lasts too long. When she speaks, her tone is soft and tender. Was that what it was for you? I won't go first. You tell me. My voice is gravelly, broken. She crosses her arms. She doesn't answer me. Instead, she purses her lips, then speaks softly. I don't want you to leave. I reach for her elbow, desperation spiraling in me. But I'm not even sure what I'm fighting for her to see what we could become, or for her to let me go. You want to stay friends, don't you? She nods. You know I do. I grip her arm tighter. And you said this had to end. Josie, it's too hard for me to be here right now. You've got to understand. A tear slides down her cheek. Then one trickles over the other. More fall like a summer rain shower. She wipes at her cheeks, but she's fighting an uphill battle. I'm torn between wanting to pull her in my arms and comfort her and needing to protect myself. But there's something else at play, too. Morbid curiosity. That wins. Josie, I say, and she draws a sharp inhale and looks up. Was it that way for you? She parts her lips, but no answer comes because a loud rap of knuckles reverberates through the apartment. Did you order lunch or something? I ask. She shakes her head and turns on her heel, heading for the door. The doorman called a few minutes ago. He had to take care of something on our floor, so he offered to bring up the package.
The knocking continues.
Ah, your rolling pin.
Probably.
Her voice is empty. She peers through the peephole, then nods at me. She unlocks and opens the door. A short, stout man in a green blazer stands at the threshold, the day doorman.
Miss Hammer, this is for you, he says, then hands her a white envelope, the legal size.
She regards it curiously.
What is this?
I signed for it yesterday. It's a certified letter. He turns to go, and she lets the door fall closed. She looks at me, then at the envelope. I shrug and gesture to the item in her hand.
Open it.
She takes out a sheet of paper and reads. After a minute, she blinks and meets my eyes.
It's from the landlord.
Her voice is a barren whisper.
What did he say?
Mr. Barnes needs the apartment for his niece, she says heavily, then shakes her head like she can't believe the hand she was just dealt.
We have to be out in a month. We're losing our home.
Looks like our days of playing house truly are over. Chapter 32. From the pages of Josie's recipe book. Josie's Misery Salad. Ingredients. Lettuce, tomatoes, carrots, whatever. 1. Wash lettuce. Even on days like this, you don't want to eat unwashed lettuce. 2. Slice some tomatoes like you fucking care. 3. Cut up some carrots. Doesn't even matter if you peel them. 4. Toss some oil and vinegar in it, or don't. Whatever. 5. Eat it, especially since you need to punish yourself more. You totally effed up. You know you did. Where do we even start?
Everywhere. From the beginning right on through to the other day when you watched him walk out the door.
Idiot.
You don't deserve sweets.
Chapter 33. I'd like to say I bury myself in work that next week, but that would do a disservice to every other day I've tended to a wound, or stitched up a knee, or removed a mustard jar from a butt. Hey, it's a dirty job, but someone's got to do it. Anyway, work saves me.